This is Warband Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
And welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we're glad you could join us tonight. Today is Tuesday, February 7th on this side of the world. On the other, it's February 8th. But we're glad you could join us, and glad you're listening live tonight. If you're not listening live and you're listening to the podcast, try and catch us one Tuesday night. We'd love to have you and join in the conversation, because we try and make it as interactive as possible and take lots of questions and discuss things. So try and tune in if you can. Tonight, as you may or may not know, we're talking about kind of everything CAD, mostly getting started in using computer-aided drafting for drawing plans. I got with us tonight our resident CAD expert, designer Jerry Bates. Good evening, Jerry. Welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Thank you, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. You know, one thing that, gosh, this is a subject we could talk about for 10 different shows. But what we want to try and focus on tonight, folks, is we want to talk about getting you set up and picking out some software and maybe understanding the basics of what you need to get started. And we can come back later and talk about more advanced topics like 3D modeling and so forth. But we just want to wade into the water tonight. And we brought Jerry on board tonight to help us with some of your questions. For all of us amateurs, this guy works with AutoCAD day in and day night designing airplanes, so he pretty much knows what he's talking about. And on that note, Jerry, why don't you tell folks a little bit about your history in designing models, how long you've been doing it, number of models you've designed, etc.
Well, I've started naturally drawing by hand, but back in the early 50s. As a child, and at that time, of course, I was in the control line, and there was a lot of kits and stuff available, but you always wanted something a little different. My dad is was a draftsman by profession, and so I learned early on how to draw, wanting something of my own, I just started drawing up my own plans for control line airplanes, and one thing led to another, and at that time, too, I had a full-time job as a draftsman up until a couple of years ago when they promoted me to a designer, which all that means is I'm an old draftsman. But we're on AutoCAD now, at work, and find that to be a great improvement over hand drawing, particularly model airplane plans where you've got to have mirrored images, two sides that are going to be equal. That's really kind of hard to do, by hand.
Right. Well, that's pretty neat. How many airplanes have you designed, you think?
I guess from the start, probably 175.
Wow.
I've got about 75 now that are for sale, off my site and so forth.
Well, that's interesting. So you use AutoCAD as your primary tool, obviously, since that's what you know and that's what you use every day at work, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's not something for everyone. AutoCAD's kind of expensive, and it does have some very nice features. But most of those features, particularly the basic drawing side, are available in any of the better CAD programs.
Right, right. And there's quite a few of those out there, aren't there?
That's for sure.
There's
some better and some worse. And there's a lot of free AutoCAD stuff you can download, or free CAD programs you can download on the internet. For someone that wants to, you know, familiarize themselves with it, see if they want to go that way. Like I say, they're basic drawing programs, but you start becoming familiar with the commands, the names of the commands, which I guess like any programmer or whatever, they come up with their own names for things that we think are quite basic. And when you first start looking at operating in CAD, it's kind of intimidating because of some of the names. And well, what does that mean, you know?
Right. Right.
Of course, the easiest way is to just, I should think, download a free AutoCAD program and look at the tutorial. Do a little drawing on there just to familiarize yourself with it.
Yeah. You know, I did a little research for the show, and it seems, you know, the two most popular programs obviously are AutoCAD and TurboCAD, which is a lower-end CAD program, but has a lot of the features of AutoCAD, just not as expensive. And that's not to say that one's better than the other. They just do two different things. They're two different audiences. Obviously, AutoCAD is aimed more for the professional draftsman who is going to write macros and, you know, do a lot of very intense repetitive work. Whereas TurboCAD's more for the I don't want to say lighter weight draftsman because there's no such thing, but, maybe not as intense repetitive work.
There are some industries that actually do use TurboCAD. DesignCAD's another one.
Yeah, DesignCAD's another one also. That's right. So there's a lot of them out there. You know, the little bit of research I did, obviously TurboCAD's quite expensive. They do have a 30-day evaluation, but their base price on their light version is about $1,200. You could probably get that discounted, you know.
You mean AutoCAD, not
AutoCAD. I'm sorry. Yeah, my bad. That's my bad. And about $1,200 plus. They do have a student version, which if you qualify, you can get for free. TurboCAD has a student version that you can download for free. It's just a flat 2D CAD program. To get into their current products, though, it's going to cost roughly between, depending on what you have, between $80 to $150 for a middle of the road version of their CAD program. So there's a big price difference there, and obviously your sacrifice, the trade-off there is ease of use versus flexibility. So obviously AutoCAD's quite a bit more flexible than TurboCAD. So, but that's just from my little bit of research. And would you?
I think the primary reason most industries use AutoCAD nowadays are civil engineering firms in particular.
Yeah.
Because of the file structure.
Right.
The DWG files.
Gotcha.
They're shared internationally and through a wide range of industries. Allowing yourself to save a drawing as a DWG is often not possible in a free program.
Yes.
You can save it as a DXF file, which can be used by a laser cutter. Say, for example, you want to cut out ribs, formers, what have you. But if you had something like DesignCAD, TurboCAD, you can actually import DWG files. You can save as DWG and share. So those two programs in particular, I think they have a lot to offer.
Good alternatives to spending a lot of money, right? Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I've used TurboCAD for a while, so I'm a little partial to it, but I do see its limitations every now and then. And mostly it's in when you're trying to do some complex things with layers, seems to be where it starts falling short. But for model airplane plans, you know, I mean, it even does 3D rendering, so... It's a pretty good product, and DesignCAD also is another one that's fabulous. You know, I put those two right beside each other. as good products. But look, let's talk a little bit about the setup, you know, that people need. Obviously, you can get away with anything that can run a modern version of Windows. You can pretty much run CAD on, but it may not perform as well as you like. Generally, you need a little bit heftier graphics card, don't you?
If you're using TurboCAD or DesignCAD, not necessarily.
Okay.
Some of the features in a program like AutoCAD will require a pretty good video card. But a basic computer that's sold nowadays will actually run AutoCAD and allow you to do just about anything you can think of. If you're going to go into production, you're going to need a very, very good workstation type computer for AutoCAD in particular, or any of the larger programs, Bentley programs, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because they do a lot of automatic interpolation, and there's a lot of high-end things that those kind of programs can do for you. So they need all that power and structure.
Right. Well, you know, that's quite interesting. You actually brought up a good point on that. Another piece of that puzzle is a plotter, obviously. Now, plotters aren't inexpensive at all, as we both know. But can you talk a little bit about that and maybe some of the things that you want in a plotter if you're looking at one?
Sure. If you're going to do, if you're going to do any kind of a plan, you're going to need to plot 36-inch wide. You can get away with a 24-inch wide plotter if you're going to do pieces and parts. Mm-hmm. If you want full views of something, say, in the range of a fifth-scale model, a 36-inch wide plotter is what you're looking for. And a roll feed plotter is best. And they're actually, you can get some that are zero-timed, which are plotters that have been used by an engineering firm that have upgraded to the next level plotter, and they turn their old plotter in as a trade-in to a company that will go through it, basically rebuild it to a zero-time condition, and resell it as a used plotter. You could get a plotter, say, that originally cost $7,500 for $1,200. You can get some roll feed plotters in $600 range. Hewitt Packard, to my way of thinking, makes the best.
Yeah,
but there's several brands out there.
Definitely the most supported.
You know, the color is nice and all that stuff, but you don't need all that. If you find a monochrome plotter that is a roll feed 36-inch wide plotter, you really have all you need.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Okay, well, you know, we've kind of talked about, you know, the software and the hardware that you need. Let's talk a little bit about, I guess, the design process, you know. A lot of guys may have their eye on a subject that they want to draw up, and maybe you can kind of go through the steps of what you come up with as far as, you know, the steps you go through to get this subject ready to start drawing, and then the actual beginning of the drawing process. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. In fact, this gives a little credence to actually purchasing a CAD program because of some of its powers. Once you find a subject that you want to do, you'll want to hunt for a 3D view that's representative and most accurate as you can find. I'm not sure that the free CAD programs, will allow you to import, say, a PDF file, a raster image.
Mm-hmm.
But those purchase programs do. Of course, the first thing you need to do naturally is practice and understand how that program you purchased operates.
Yeah.
just your basic skills.
Yeah.
At this point, you can import that raster image, PDF file, whatever, bitmap, into your CAD program and actually trace right over the top of it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's kind of hold up right there for a second, and let me do a little pushing for the station here. Folks, if you'd like to join in the discussion, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. Email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com or join us in the live chat by just clicking on the live chat link on the player. Another reason I wanted to stop there, Jerry, is I wanted to talk a little bit about that part of the design process as far as tracing. Can you explain layers for our listeners and basically, you know, what they are and how they're used in a CAD program? Because this is, you know, when I was the little bit that I know about CAD, which is, you know, like a dime compared to your elephant of knowledge there, you know, the thing I understand, you know, layers are key to all of this. And can you kind of quickly cover that and explain that to folks?
In your AutoCAD program, you will have a pull-down menu that allows you to assign names to layers. Layers are basically, say you're drawing in colors, you have a white and a red and a blue and so forth. You want to put those on separate layers. The basic way of understanding it might be to say that all your center lines are white and they are a center line type of a line, and that is on a layer called center line.
Right.
The outline would be on another layer. Perhaps it's red, and it's a continuous line. You might want certain things in a phantom line to indicate that there's something in front of what you're drawing, actually, that you don't want to present as a definitive item, just like a wingtip or something sticking up in the way. You want to put that on, say, a layer called phantom, and that would be a phantom line, a nice thin double dashed line. You want maybe put your hidden lines on a separate layer. That is just to keep all these entities separate from one another and being able to assign those layers, say, a different line weight, a different color. And in AutoCAD, the colors that I assign for a layer are basically a line weight, a line thickness, so that when you plot it out, one line may be thicker, one line would be thinner, indicating its importance. One, you know, line weight, of course, would be dashed for hidden and this sort of thing.
Gotcha. Well, Jerry, it looks like we've got a caller. You feel like taking a call?
Absolutely.
Okay, good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, is this me?
Yes. Mr. Allen, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I've been looking forward to this because you're touching on a subject that is very interesting to me. I think this may interest a lot of people. I've tried several free ones, several cheaper purchase ones, and I've read tutorials, bought CDs. And every one of those, the best way I could describe it is they're written by nerds for other nerds.
Absolutely, sir.
And they all have different names for the same process. It's like learning Chinese upside down in a bathtub. Anyway, to cut the crap and get to the point, what I would love to be able to do, and I've never seen anyone who or anything that shows me, is I love scratch build. I like to build odd airplanes. Mike knows that. And what I would like to be able to do is to take a 3 view that I like, that let's say is 11.5 by 8, just a regular page bit. I'd like to be able to scan that. I can save it as a PDF. I can save it as a TIFF or whatever, and I can import it. All I want to be able to do for me is to draw the outline in CAD, whatever the program is, whether it's DXF or whatever, and be able to save it. Now I can take that outline to a print shop and say, hey guys, I would like this done at twice the size, three times the size, half the size, or whatever. I have been totally unable to find out how to do that.
No kidding. Now, which part of it are you not familiar with? Have you traced the 3D?
No, I don't. I can't find anyone who shows you how to do that. Everything starts with how it's have a blank sheet and start drawing lines in various places. Well, it's great, but it's not what I want to do.
Absolutely. I don't know what program you're using, but most programs will have a pull-down menu that says import. You know, once you call up a blank sheet to start the process, you can pull down a menu that says import. And it may say import vector file, raster file, whatever. What you're importing is a raster file. You'll click on that, and it'll say, well, where is it? You know, if you have scanned it and it's in your computer, you'll go to where it's hidden or stored and click on that, and then you can load it. It will load into your CAD program and appear on your screen.
I've even bought some raster vector things and brought them in. I can get it into the CAD program. I can't find out how to trace the lines.
Okay. Well, basically, that's what we were actually just talking about. If you're listening to,
go ahead.
Yeah. What I was going to say was what the next step at that point is. You want to add another layer to the drawing. Think of a layer as, you remember the 8.5 by 11 transparencies that people would use on overheads?
Sure.
Think of that as a layer, okay?
Okay.
So you've got a layer with a drawing, and then you've got another clear layer laying over it that you're going to trace on.
Okay.
So you start tracing on that second layer, you know, like Jerry said, changing the line color to something else so you can see it. Right. And then basically you trace it all out just like it is on the 3D, which that's even hard in itself because usually these are blown up and they're a little fuzzy, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of pick either the outside, the inside, or the center of the line, you know, one of those two. But you trace it out. And then at that point, you can go into your layers menu and whatever you're using and hide the background image, and you're left with a CAD outline of the 3D.
Oh, that's very helpful.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. I've never been able to get past that. I never understood the layer deal. You explained it very, very simply.
That's exactly what it is. It's like a transparent sheet of paper. And each layer you put down, you can draw on it.
Okay, let me get off the line and let you go ahead. That's been very helpful.
Buddy.
And I think that would also be helpful to a bunch of people who may be stuck at that same point.
That was a fantastic question. Thank you for calling in and asking it.
You're welcome. Take care, sir.
Okay, take care. Well, yeah, you know, and that seems to be where a lot of people get stuck, Jerry, is they just, you know, don't understand the concepts of CAD, maybe. And
now, you know, I apologize for that. I find myself speaking like that fella just said. I'm speaking to someone who already knows how to draw. And it's hard not to do.
But no, it's easy. I do the same thing when I'm talking about computers, you know. So it's pretty funny though. But yeah, you know, and someone gave me that analogy. It is a layer's like that mm-hmm. clear piece of 8.5 by 11 paper,
right.
And you can just move through them and draw on whichever one you want. So so hey, look, we also got a voicemail from Chuck Graves. Would you like to hear his question?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's hear Chuck's question.
Yeah, Jerry, this is Chuck Graves calling. I'm just curious as to how long it takes you from the time you start with 3D till you have a set of plans to build from.
Good question.
Well, that changes that in accordance with the information that you've put in to begin with. Tracing a three view, a decent three view, may take a constant 4 hours. Then you need to arrange all those views so that you can line up, say, all the panel lines from one view to the next, the wing leading edge on one to the next, because usually these three views are hand-drawn, and they're not going to be correct in every view. You can also say in a top view only draw half of the plan and then mirror image it to get the other half. When you do that, you'll see that, my goodness, it doesn't match. Of course it didn't. Also, you may have to go to some factory information to find out some dimensions and for correcting all of that stuff. That process right there may take you an additional 12 hours. That's much harder than tracing it. But actually correcting the three view is the next step.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. So how do you normally do that?
Well, I do line the views up, in an orthographic projection, top view, side view, and everything is lined up so that I can transpose, say, the top view, the leading edge of the top view at the fuselage into the leading edge of the wing on the side view. See, make sure those all line up. Make sure the canopy lines up. Make sure the width is correct. As I say, you may find some factory data that's got some dimensions on it that you can further correct. In many cases, I'll go to a museum and actually take some measurements, naturally taking all the photographs I can. Some people like to actually trace over a photograph, but that's not a very good idea. There's always built-in parallax in a camera. So you're not really getting an accurate view from a photograph, but correcting the three view, getting the three view straight, that takes most time. Then from that point, you'll use that three view for the basis of your
plan set.
Yeah.
I got you. Now, what one little trick I use, of course, this is a little beginner's trick, so you can laugh at me when I tell you this, Jerry. So I've traced my three view, and I have my top and my side of my fuselage. Mm-hmm. Okay, as you well know, if you shoot an exact vertical line along the front and the back of those two views, they never line up, right? There's always one shorter than the other, but I always like to do that. I like to draw a line across that crosses the front and rear of the fuselage or the wing, for that matter, to make sure that they're the same width and the same heights, or whatever. And that's the way that I worked it out. And that's something that, we need to talk about, too, is you really do have to invest some time in learning these programs. You have to be able to understand the concepts of what they're doing. And unfortunately, like Alan said, every vendor has their own name for different things. And that's why you want to go with one of the well-known ones like AutoCAD or TurboCAD or DesignCAD, because there's a lot of support for those out on the internet.
There is. And they do a lot of share. But to get back to the actual answer to the question, the process of developing a set of construction drawings for a model airplane may take anywhere from 6 months to a year. Not because it takes that much time continuously working on the plan. It takes me that much time because I have other things to do. And I'm an model airplane prostitute anyway, so I'm 5-7 plans at the same time. And so when, I might come out one day and, man, I just really like that P-51B, so I'll work on that for 2 days. And I might come back and, I'm going to work on a A-20 Havoc for a while, that sort of thing. But it's usually 6 months to a year because there's a long, drawn-out process of collecting information that's time consuming.
Yeah. Thanks for that question, Chuck. We appreciate you leaving a voicemail for it. That's a good question also. So we've got our cleaned up 3-view. We've spent the time. We've gone over our photographs, our documentation. We think we've got a good clean 3-view. What happens now?
Well, you want to save your 3-view under a separate name as an untouched file, because you may need your 3-view in the future. But you can use that drawing to of course develop your construction plans. One easy thing is to say you're going to sheet the fuselage with 1/8-inch balsa wood. One of the features in AutoCAD is that you can offset a line by a distance. So what you do is you say take your top view, offset that outline toward the inside of the fuselage 1/8 of an inch on both sides of the fuselage. Do the same thing with all the fuselage views. Now you have the inside line work for your formers. There's no set way of setting up formers and stringers. That's something that I just do out of experience. I might want to put my, say, formers on a fifth scale airplane at 3.5 inches on center, because there's a lot of changes in shape from the front to the rear of the fuselage. You want to capture that shape. The closer the formers are together, the less stringers you're going to need. Most of my plans use a monocoque construction. I don't use a stick and beam inner fuselage truss and then put formers on the outside of that. I develop the formers and the skin and the stringers. That's the load carrying structure on what I do.
Gotcha. Well, look, hey, can you stick around? We need to take a quick station break, but when we come back, we'll certainly continue this discussion, and we got a couple of questions lined up for you.
All right,
we'll be right back after these messages.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we're here tonight with Mr. Jerry Bates talking about designing your own models and how to do it in CAD and what's involved in it. Jerry, we could go on for hours about this, but I want to try and keep this as kind of an intro and maybe bring you back a couple of shows from now, and we'll talk more about the, you know, lofting of the formers and stuff. But the main thing I wanted to try and cover tonight was to get people in the program and get them learning it and maybe start tracing a 3-view. I think we've got a lot of good information out there right now to do that. And obviously we want to move on to the next steps. But, you know, lofting, that's something, that's a term that a lot of people don't really understand and maybe have never even heard in the context of model airplanes. Can you talk a little bit about what lofting is?
Well, lofting is... say when you're speaking of fuselage formers, that would be the development of the outside profile of the fuselage former, say, from nose to tail, and trying to capture all those shapes. There's various ways of doing that. That's probably the most difficult part of capturing a design, is the lofting of the fuselage formers. Mm-hmm. Early airplanes used series of metal airplanes, anyway, used series of circles, ellipsoids, and that sort of thing. Later, starting in the 40s, those curves were developed off of what's called conic sections. That's one reason I like AutoCAD, because I found a conic development program that can be brought into AutoCAD and to help do that. Right. That's one of the most difficult parts of the design. Lofting of, say, airfoils nowadays has become rather simple. There are numerous programs out there that you can use that will allow you to generate a wing plan and loft the ribs, interpolating between, say, you've picked a certain airfoil for the root, a different airfoil for the tip, you've got washout, the wing taper's leading edge and trailing edge, you assign the root and tip airfoils, and the program automatically interpolates all the rest of the rib outlines, lofting.
Yeah.
Or you know.
Do you use Windfoil? Is that the program you use?
Windfoil is one, but no, that's not. Actually, that's not the one I use. I'm afraid to go to my screen here and find. CompuFoil. Yes,
CompuFoil, that's what I was thinking of, yeah. Yeah, so I've seen Windfoil, CompuFoil, and there's another one called Profili out of Italy that's pretty good.
I like CompuFoil. The vendor is very friendly. He answers your email questions and keeps your software up to date. It's a very nice program. You can add stringers, all kind of stuff right in that program, and then pull it into your CAD program.
Yeah, that was one thing that was really attractive to me about those type of programs, is you can basically design the wing in that program and then export it as an AutoCAD file and bring it into your drawing and resize it for your drawing. So that's pretty slick. Now, I know there's actually a program out there. I actually took a look at it one time, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, that will actually help you design a set of fuselage formers if you have a couple of them. It will do the lofting for you automatically. But I can't remember the name of it. Maybe one of our audience members will know what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of information out there. One of the neatest things I've ever seen is our good buddy Dave Platt, on his Scratch This series of videos, he actually shows you how to loft formers with, obviously on paper. But the concept carries over to CAD, and I would encourage anyone that's really interested in that to pick that up. And plus, whatever CAD program you're using, there's usually a tutorial on designing an airplane. I don't know why they always do that, but there's one for TurboCAD, and I know there's one for AutoCAD I've seen, and it has lofting the formers in there. There's a lot of information out there.
Actually, CompuFoil has a fuselage lofting program.
Oh, does it? There you go.
It's kind of limited, but it's good. It's a good basic program.
Yeah. Yeah. Kent just asked about if you recommended Platt's method of lofting. He's just doing that on paper. There's no real difference, Kent. The difference is you're just doing it on paper, and in CAD you're going to let it. Most CAD programs have a feature, an interpolation feature, right, Jerry?
That's true.
Yeah, and you can actually have it size them, along the way. But anyway.
There's a lot of things to learn from Dave.
Yeah, there is. There is.
Eric had a video on kinematics for figuring out landing gears and retract gears. Very nice.
Absolutely. Yeah, any money that you spend on a Dave Platt video is well spent, in my opinion. So he's definitely the guy to learn that from. Real quick, Jerry, we had an email from Sam Wright. He wanted me to ask you, what aircraft is hitting your hot button right now? And he had a comment that you have a real nice lineup of unusual airplanes, as well as some favorites like the P-40 and the Sea Furies.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah. So what is your hot button right now as far as a model?
Actually, I have several plans that are finished. They're being reviewed. My hot button for a model now is going to be one for me. I think I'm going to quit drawing this summer and build an airplane.
Yeah.
First one in 6 years. And that's going to be a third scale Aranca L3 Grasshopper. I've got a set of quarter scale chipmunk plans that'll come out as soon as I get the cowl and canopy plugs built. I'm working with Steve and Cutter on an fifth scale A20 Havoc. I'm also doing a B-model Mustang. So there's a number of things out there, but the list is long.
Yeah. We had a question from Rob in Australia, Rob Miller. He wanted to know, is it worth shelling out the money to do an AutoCAD course?
It is, because you'll go to a college, community college perhaps, and in most of those courses, part of your course fee covers the student version of AutoCAD, which is full-blown AutoCAD, actually. But since you're doing it through a course like this, the fee is very, very low. That's a good course.
Yeah, good recommendation there. Also, Jason wants to know, what scale is the Havoc?
The Havoc is actually 1/5.5 scale, 133-inch wingspan.
Oh, nice size. Well, good deal. Well, look, I want to let people kind of absorb what we've talked about tonight a little bit. But will you come back again, and maybe we can continue and talk a little bit more about the mechanics of lofting the formers, and kind of some basic design philosophies about, like you talked about, the distance between formers, how many stringers to use, etc.
That would be a program in itself, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, good deal. Well, Jerry, I sure do appreciate you coming on tonight, and I was trying to think what else we have. Folks, be sure and visit Jerry's website at jbplans.com. And I would personally recommend, if you see any of his planes that you're interested in, to go ahead and purchase the plans, because they're really nice to build and you'll really enjoy it. It's a nice build. I don't think I've ever met anyone who didn't like your plans, Jerry. So I think that says something, you know. So,
very much. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show, and thank you to the listeners.
Well, on a final note, what advice? What kind of final word would you give to our listeners who are interested in getting into designing? What advice would you give them?
Getting into designing model airplanes?
Yes.
Do an internet search. You're going to find a lot of very good information on there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. That's an excellent piece of advice. Well, folks, we're going to go ahead and take another quick break, and we're going to come back real quick and cover some events. But Jerry, we'll be talking to you soon, my friend.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com. For more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art, that's FightingColors.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Man Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back to the RC Skill Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson. Man, that was great. You know, I always enjoy having Jerry on the show and hearing him talk about designing airplanes. I think we got some good information out there tonight to help people get started. I would encourage you to take a hard look at what's out there as far as CAD programs, either AutoCAD if you have access to it, TurboCAD or DesignCAD. Any of those are good choices. There's a lot of information on the internet about each of those. They're all well supported. You'd never have any problems that, you know, there's even forums out there for these products. So you could go ask questions if you need to. And of course, we'll have Jerry back and we'll get more into this subject. I think this is something a lot of people are interested in. So we want to be sure and cover that. Moving on real quick, upcoming events. If you're up in the Northeast, don't forget to attend the 44th Annual Ram Show. That's February 24th through 26th. Also coming up March 2nd and 3rd in Perry, Georgia, is the Southeastern Modeler Show. What I like to think is the world's biggest swap meet. So be sure and check that out if you're going to be in the area. And last but certainly not least, the Weak Signals RC Expo, April 13th through the 15th in Toledo, Ohio. We'll be there. And of course, we'll be having our spaghetti supper, Saturday night at the Spaghetti Warehouse. So be sure and join us for that if you're going to be at the show. I guess that's about it. Matt, what'd you think of that show? That was pretty informative, wasn't it?
A lot of good stuff tonight. A little different than designing a paper airplane, but a lot of good stuff.
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Good stuff.
You know, I think the biggest issue that people get into is they try to use something obscure where there's not a lot of support and they have nowhere to go for help. So, I think if you stick to the, you know, and all the big guys have free versions of their programs to try out. So, there's no reason not to go that route. But, and hey, you know, if it's, you're not paying more than just for a couple of servos anyway with TurboCAD or DesignCAD. So,
yeah, there you go.
That's right. So, you know, same difference. But what's coming up on Warbird Radio this week?
Tomorrow it's Butler Parachutes, all about emergency egress. And then on Thursday we're going to be talking to Congressman Sam Graves and perhaps Jeff Lee from Live Air Show TV, if we can get him.
Well, that was pretty good. You said that really fast. I'm impressed.
I'm good, Mike.
Well, look, we're going to sneak out of here, folks. We're glad that you guys could join us tonight, and hope you'll be back and join us next week for another great guest. And we'll have more information on the in the world of Skill RC right here on the RC Skill Builder Show. So be sure and tune in, and don't forget to measure twice and do what, Matt?
And cut once, Mike.
That's right. Good night, everybody. Good night.